Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
One way to apostasy via Christian magazines. We had finished Charisma magazine, and then for our next magazine, I wanted to lay a little groundwork, which I had done, concerning progressive Christianity. Then I had, a segue or a couple of podcasts that I wanted to address Roman Catholicism before I came back to this study. So if you want to review a couple podcasts back, you can review a little of what I laid out for the groundwork of progressive Christianity. And, you know, the reason we looked at progressive Christianity is because that is the movement that the editor of our next magazine, Jim Wallace, identifies with. He identifies with this group, the progressive Christians, who also would be comfortable with the title Red Letter Christians. Tony Campolo wrote a book called Red Letter Christians, and also identifies with this group, along with many other liberal-type Christians. Now, just a quick definition, once again, of progressive Christianity. We'll take the time for that. And I get this from the gotquestions.org site. What is progressive Christianity, and is it biblical? Progressive Christianity is a recent movement in Protestantism that focuses strongly on social justice and environmentalism, and often includes a revisionist or non-traditional, view of the scriptures. There are some aspects of progressive Christianity that contradict a biblical worldview. In general, members of this movement do not ascribe to the biblical doctrine of the inerrancy of Scripture, and again, in general, do not believe that the Bible is the literal Word of God. Progressive Christianity also tends to emphasize what is known as collective salvation over the biblical concept of personal salvation. The Bible is clear that God redeems those individuals who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and rescues them from an eternity of being separated from Him in torment. Collective salvation, by contrast, emphasizes the restoration of whole cultures and societies to what progressive Christians believe is the correct socioeconomic structure, namely Marxism. Marxism, in turn, is a theory of economics and politics developed by an atheist, Karl Marx, from unbiblical assumptions. In this sense, then, the views of many progressive Christians do not fit with biblical principles. I would say, yeah, to say the least. And so, having laid the foundation previously and then given you that definition again, I want to look at some of the at one of the key vehicles for promoting progressive Christianity, or as I would also say, the apostasy, the present apostasy, the coming apostasy, as well as the scripture has predicted. And Sojourner Magazine, or as I like to call it, For Gandhi So Loved the World Magazine, and I think you'll understand that a little bit better as we go along. But as I mentioned in the past, I have several older issues, and I wanted to touch on a few before I went into greater depth with a few of the other issues, in no particular chronological order. So the first one I wanted to look at was the May 2015 issue. And on the inside, or actually, yeah, the not the inside front cover, but second page in, there is a organization called Blessed Tomorrow, and it has quotes from Pope Francis. And, of course, Pope Francis is one of the poster boys for Sojourners Magazine. They love this pope because they don't come much more liberal than Pope Francis. Now, on page four, here's a couple of quotes concerning global warming or climate change or whatever they're calling it this week. He says, the effective struggle against global warming will only be possible with a responsible collective answer that goes beyond particular interests and behavior and is developed free of political and economic pressures. On climate change, there is a clear, definitive, and ineluctable ethical imperative to act. He also, quote, has him saying, a second key area where you are called to make a contribution is in showing concern for the environment. This is not only because this country more than many others is likely to be seriously affected by climate change, and I'm sure he's talking about the U.S., you are called to care for creation not only as responsible citizens, but also as followers of Christ. And of course, Pope Francis is on board with every liberal social justice, social gospel type issue there is, as opposed to preaching a biblical gospel of which his Catholic Church knows nothing of. But particularly this Pope, with his liberalism, you know, pray for him for his salvation. Now, moving to the next point that I wanted to, or the next thing I wanted to point out in this particular issue, there is an advertisement for something called the Uncommon Tour. It says race, poverty, inequality. So that apparently is the gist of what this tour is about. And Lisa Sharon Harper is the person that's leading the charge here with this particular activity in 2015. Now, I will have more to say about that later in this podcast or the next, as I went to the Uncommon Tour. And I would say it was a more maybe unbiblical tour than uncommon, but it was uncommon as well. And I had the chance to visit at a local community when she came to speak and some of the other folks joining her spoke. Like I say, I'll get into that. This was actually, October 24th, 2015. The same year, of course, this magazine came out. Now, I want to move to the next magazine we'll address. And the cover of this one, and this is from... This is from, excuse me, let's see, this would be September, June, I'm sorry, not September, I jumped ahead. It's June 2015, and the cover topic is Divest, and we'll look at that a little bit more. On page 21, there is an article about divestment or divest in this particular magazine. And let me just say before I go any further that I recently had the opportunity to listen to a couple of speakers from a prophecy conference, the Midwest Prophecy Conference up at Calvary Chapel in the Lafayette or West Lafayette, Indiana area. Jim Fletcher was one of the speakers, and he spoke a bit in one of his talks about divestment or divest sanctions against Israel, of which we'll talk a little bit more from this article in a minute, and you'll see more about it if you're not aware of it. But if possible, if those talks are still available from that, this is just this last weekend. This is Wednesday. This was just last Saturday. You might want to check out that conference if possible, as there was some very good material and information. He had two talks, and there were some other good speakers. So, he and I will refer to Jim Fletcher also when I speak concerning one of the other magazines, one of his other talks. I will give some more information from Jim at that time. But the article in question that I had mentioned, we'll just quote a few quotes from it. It says, "We think Israel can do better. Church bodies in the U.S. are removing financial support for the occupation of Palestinian territory. But some Jewish groups still see divestment as delegitimizing Israel itself." Well, I'll give an amen to that. And I'll furthermore talk a little bit about the Presbyterian Church USA. You know, I've spoken quite a bit about several of the liberal denominations as part of my series on liberalism, the New Improved Broad Road to Destruction. And one of them was the Presbyterian Church USA. We'll look at least one more in this article, or I'll mention, you know, as I go in the body of this article. It says they have been debating various divestment measures since 2004. And last year, the denomination voted to divest from three companies that supply equipment used in the occupation of Palestinian territory. And to that, a scripture comes to mind. God will bless those who bless Israel, and he'll curse those who curse Israel. So, you know, good luck with that, Presbyterian Church USA. What goes around comes around, I guess we could say. But anyway, it says, we as a church cannot profit from the destruction of homes and lives, said Reverend Grady Parsons, the denomination's stated clerk, after the vote to remove church funds from Hewlett-Packard, Caterpillar, and Motorola Solutions. The church said it has communicated directly with the companies to urge them to stop profiting from the occupation by supplying Israel with surveillance technology, bulldozers, and other products. Well, like all liberals, you know, they usually get most everything wrong, and they, of course, have gotten this wrong, as Israel, this is the land that God's given Israel, and they're in defense of their lives, not unlike the way they really had to try to defend their lives from Hitler and the Nazis. These are the neo-Nazis of today, the Islamics, who want to destroy Israel from the face of the earth. And so they've gotten it wrong. Let's see what else I can draw from this deceitful article. A group of Christian Palestinians that grew out of the 2000 Kairos Palestine document, A Moment of Truth, called for the beginning of a system of economic sanctions and boycotts to be applied against Israel, while condemning all forms of racism, whether religious or ethnic, including anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. Well, I'm not so sure how much they would condemn anti-Semitism. But anyway, moving on in the U.S., the Mennonite Central Committee, the Quakers, and other U.S. religious bodies, who I haven't really taken much detail with. I mostly have dealt in the past with Presbyterian Church USA and United Methodists and some others, but we'll mention these folks here. They have also taken steps to divest from companies that profit from the occupation. Of course, they're calling an occupation, which is incorrect. But moving on, let's see, the United Methodist Church has called on all countries to prohibit any financial support for the construction and maintenance of settlements and the import of products made by companies in Israel. Israeli settlements on Palestinian land. Activity, the Methodists say, contribute to serious violations of international law, promotes systemic discrimination, or otherwise supports ongoing military occupation. Like other churches, the UMC doesn't support a boycott of products made in Israel, but rather products made by Israel companies operating in occupied Palestinian territories. See, there's a whole lot of lying going on here. These occupied, you know, this is, this is the land that God gave to Israel. And furthermore, Britain, you know, gave the land to Israel at a point in history as well. And they've had to fight from day one, you know, to keep what was theirs. So anyway, I won't go into a whole lot of details, except to say that, needless to say, these liberal churches are not involved in studying Bible prophecy, or they would see just what a mess they're making of things and what a hole they're digging for themselves. So anyway, that's the divest movement. That's been going on for quite some time, and it is a display of an attack, just another way to attack Israel. And I wouldn't recommend it, folks. Not a good idea. Now, on the back of this particular magazine, there's an advertisement for the Wild Goose Festival, and this was in 2015. And you know there's an expression, don't go there. Well, let me just say, folks, don't go there to the Wild Goose Festival. Don't go there. I mean, you can go there, but, you know, what you're going to find is a group of liberal, so-called progressive Christians. I mean, you could go there to try to share Christ with these people who think they're Christians, but who are deceived. And, of course, there's many reasons, as we'll see as we continue the study, to understand why they're deceived. Because, and we've looked at some of these beliefs of people like Wallace and Campolo concerning the true biblical gospel and biblical doctrines. But anyway, this is I wanted to throw that term out there in case you hadn't heard of it, because this is one I would say is probably one of the more popular festivals that these red-letter Christians, these progressive Christians, would want to go to. This one was held in Asheville in Hot Springs, North Carolina. But this year, the Wild Goose Festival will strive to reaffirm our place in the world as people of peace. So, you know, peace is great, but we'll never have permanent peace until the Prince of Peace returns. So it's kind of an exercise in futility when you're using unbiblical means to try to put peace on people, force the peace on people, however you might want to put it. Okay, now, the next magazine we're going to look at from the Sojourners magazine, the next magazine I have in hand, this is from the September-October issue in 2015. And on the inside front cover, you have none other than, you have an advertisement from Now You Know Media, and it is concerning Thomas Merton on contemplation. Of course, as many of you know, Thomas Merton was a monk. I actually visited where his, it's in Kentucky, I forgot the exact name of the city. I think it's pretty close to Louisville. But anyway, he was an Assisian, St. Francis of Assisi. He was from that order, I believe, of monks there. So he was in a monastery, and he promoted, one of the biggest promoters of contemplative spirituality. It's because of him and a handful of other Catholic mystic monks that has now been brought this contemplative spirituality and contemplative prayer has been brought into the evangelical church. And it's the greatest thing since sliced bread to some of these folks, but it is actually an unbiblical means of prayer, not sanctioned at all by Scripture, and it's more of a pagan type of prayer. In fact, that's, in this ad it says, you're invited to sit at the feet of a contemplative master. And I'm thinking, yeah, like the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama was a contemplative master of Buddhism, of course. And he was a close friend of Thomas Merton. And they hung out together. And, they both were monks within their own false religions. And I say that because Merton was, of course, in the Catholic tradition. And I do believe that the Catholic gospel is not the biblical gospel. So it goes on to talk about Thomas Merton on contemplation, invites you into the spiritual master's profound contemplative experience. So you can hear these talks, of course, by him. As your guide, with Merton as your guide, you will explore the spiritual journey, John Cassian's philosophy of prayer, silence as an act of worship, and the key components of prayer and meditation. Hear these lost treasures today. And one other thing, the benefits of religious silence. There's a lot of talk about going into the silence, as though that's a good thing. And it's not. Silence is golden, I guess, the old saying. But the idea of going into silence in the contemplative, Catholic mysticism, this is not a good thing. It's not a biblical practice, and it can actually be spiritually dangerous. It seems to be the obvious logical place for liberals who deny the inerrancy and the full authority of God's Word, because they don't believe in God's Word. They're not hearing from God through God's Word, but they want to hear from God. So, they prefer to hear from a wannabe God, some spiritual entity or some even self-hypnotic means or a similar type practice where they can be seduced by a seducing spirit and who they want to believe is God, and or at least feel that they're hearing from God through these practices and through these experiences. And, I'll go into more of that way down the road, I think. Some of the other, and I have already touched in the past, with some of the other contemplative practices that are dangerous. But I only say that here since we're going through this magazine to say that it's no surprise that they would promote this in Sojourners Magazine, because they are the type of folks, as I have described, who reject, for all intents and purposes, they reject the Word of God. They may say they believe in the red letters of Jesus, but that's just a way of them reducing the Bible and taking away much of the Bible. In fact, they don't even get the red letters all right. In other words, they take a lot of that out of context. They misinterpret a lot of that. So, but this is the plight of liberal theology and what it can do for you. Now, to finish up this magazine, I'll just quickly note that they have an article about Black Lives Matter. Now is the time for theology to thrive. The Black Lives Matter movement offers a challenge to the church and an opportunity. Well, before I go there, and I'm going to go there later, as I mentioned before, to talk a little bit more about the Lisa Sharon Harper's Uncommon Tour. I'm not going to say much about that now, but we'll talk later about the Black Lives Matter movement as they made an appearance at an event that I visited locally. This is problematic because this is really a political group, but then so is Jim Wallace and Sojourners Magazine. It's really all about the social gospel and politics. It's certainly not, again, the biblical gospel that true Christians are concerned about and who are preaching. Now, let's see how much time I have here. Let's look a little bit deeper into some other issues in some other issues. Now, there's a pun intended there, folks. We're going to look at some other issues and some of the other Sojourner issues. I hate it when I have to explain my jokes, but hey, it's okay. I know most of you probably got it. By now, you know my warped sense of humor. But anyway, we'll look now at the January 2008 Sojourners Magazine. And in this one, there is a poster that you can get. It's an exclusive offer. If you subscribe to Sojourners Magazine, you will receive a poster of Mahatma Gandhi's 7 Deadly Social Sins for free. How about that, folks? I mean, not a glossy, you know, picture of Jesus or one of the apostles or somebody. This, you get Mahatma Gandhi. I mean, hey, everybody wants that, I guess. But anyway, this is where I liked my own little title, my subtitle for this magazine, and called it, you know, For Gandhi, So Loved the World Magazine. Because Gandhi is really, I think, probably at least as important as Jesus Christ is to these folks. But since I don't think they know the real Jesus Christ, he's actually more important, and I think that's why you'll hear more about Gandhi. And of course, you know, Gandhi was kind of the foundation for Martin Luther King's social gospel when he was here. And, you know, he did a lot of good things to help black people socially, but he drew a lot of his ideas from Gandhi, who was not a Christian, never claimed to be a Christian. And let's see if I can get through the rest of what I wanted to say about Gandhi before I run out of time here. I have a little pamphlet that I picked up when I lived in Southern California, and I got this from the Self-Realization Fellowship, which is down on Sunset Boulevard. It's on the other end of Sunset Boulevard, away from a lot. You know, it's not near so much of the tourist stuff, but it is. It's like Cult Lane, because this Self-Realization Fellowship is right next to the Scientology Blue Building that you may have seen if you watched Leah Remini's A&E special on Scientology. This is right next door, a much smaller, much, much smaller little building. But anyway, I went in there and I found a little pamphlet, among other pamphlets that were proclaiming Eastern religion. This one was called Gandhi Speaks, Selections from His Writings. And let me say this, that the this organization, the Self-Realization Fellowship, whenever you hear self-realization, folks, what that's talking about is you're realizing, you're coming into the realization that yourself, that you're God, that you're part of the God of the universe, which is represented through pantheism, that all is God, that you're, you know, God is in you and God is in everything. And so that's really what the buzzword self-realization means. But this is the Self-Realization Fellowship, and followers of Paramahansa Yogananda, who wrote the book Autobiography of a Yogi, are the ones that produced that's what this Eastern cult is all about, based on the writings of this false teacher. And the Autobiography of a Yogi, let me just say that this is not Yogi Bear. Again, a little bit offbeat humor there, but you know, they're not after your picnic basket, they're after your soul and a chunk of your wallet, I might add. But it is a cult, and right next to another cult, Scientology, they have nothing, you know, there's no theology in common with these two groups. But it kind of fascinated me, like, wow, two for the price of one. By the way, I took the tour of the Scientology Blue Building. I don't recommend that for everybody, but it was a fact-finding mission, and I'm good at playing dumb, so I just went right through there and learned all I could about Scientology through the tour, or what they tell you about Scientology. But anyway, getting back to this cult, here's some quotes by Gandhi from his writings in this little booklet. There are innumerable definitions of God because his manifestations are innumerable. Well, I would say false. No, not right. Okay, that's what Gandhi said. Often in my progress, I have had faint glimpses of the absolute truth, capital letters, God. You know, that's, you know, a way to depersonalize God. And daily the conviction is growing upon me that he alone is real and all else is unreal. Well, that's not true. Lots of things are real, including God. But, you know, when you have this illusory type of Eastern concepts of reality, this is the thing, this is what you come up with. And it's, of course, false. Life is an aspiration. Its mission is to strive after perfection, which is self-realization. And I just told you what that means. In the final analysis, a man is guided in his conduct by his own inner promptings, though the example of others may sometimes seem to guide him. Actually, that's a good way to be deceived, by your inner promptings. You know, Jesus said he's the great shepherd. You come to him, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but me. He'll lead you. But your inner promptings? No, not so much. Not when you don't know Christ. You're going to end up down a wrong road for sure. There is a life. There only is life where there is love. Life without love is death. Love is the reverse of the coin, of which the opposite. Yes, but where does love come from? God is love. And the only way you know that God of love is through Jesus Christ, of which this movement does not preach. I do dimly perceive that while everything around me is ever-changing, ever-dying, underlying all that is changing is a living power, capital letters, that is changeless. That informing power or spirit is God. Okay, but again, no Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have God, which he didn't, but he is speaking about a God he claims to know or knows about. The purer I try to become, the nearer to God I feel myself to be. Actually, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? That's from Jeremiah. And Paul said, I know that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. So all of your attempts to be pure, it's not going to bring you nearer to God. The only thing that's going to bring you nearer to God is the mediator, Jesus Christ, of whom his blood atonement washes away your sins and enables you to come into that relationship. Now, I have no special revelation of God's will, he says. Well, he sure talks a lot about, well, he talks about the still small voice. You know, he quotes from the scripture out of context. God is conscience. He is even the atheism of the atheist. Is that right? Anyway, that's Mohammed Gandhi. That's Sojourner's hero there. I'm endeavoring to see God through service to humanity, for I know that God is neither in heaven nor down below, but in everyone. Mahatma Gandhi. I'm running out of time, so we'll leave it at that. I think you've gotten an earful. He also talks one more. After I had practiced silence for some time, I saw the spiritual value of it. There's that silence that I guess is very similar to what Merton was talking about. Anyway, I'm out of time. We will continue our study next week. I hope you'll join us. God bless you all. Good night.